following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Kesey, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, where Josh Howes, the Union Men's head hot coach, joins me for his weekly appearance here on the podcast. Josh, welcome back. How's it going?
It's going well. Yourself?
I'm hanging in. Can't complain. The Eagles won last Thursday. We're very happy about that. So, of course, your Vikings won on Sunday, so you have to be happy about that.
Yeah, much better season than everybody was expecting.
Yeah. You got the Detroit Lions to worry about there in that NFC North.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so they're the best team in the NFL right now. But I digress. We're going to talk some hockey here. Mixed bag for the Garnet Chargers this past weekend. They posted a 4-0 win over St. Lawrence on Friday and dropped a 4-1 decision to Clarkson on Saturday. Let's start with the St. Lawrence game. I believed it was a solid 60-minute. It was a solid 60-minute effort from the get-go. There was no let-up from the opening face-off until the final buzzer. What did you think of your team's effort?
Yeah, I was really pleased. We had spent a lot of time on our detail and just defending better so we can transition and go. And I thought all around it was a really solid effort from power play penalty kill to 5-on-5. Was really pleased. We got solid goaltending. You know, everything you could really ask for.
I think it may have been the best 60 minutes I've seen from the team since you arrived here from Clarkson.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you. I thought at times it was really, really special.
Well, the first goal scored by Drew Sutton on the power play late in the first period, I think, was an example of the team's hard work and tenacity. Saints goalie Mason Kucinski was trying to cover the puck with his glove, but Union kept whacking at it, and Sutton was able to get his stick on it and put it in. St. Lawrence coach Brent Brecky felt that Kucinski had the puck covered, but he didn't. And how impressed were you with the goal?
Yeah, just it's a hard-working goal, and guys just continuing to play to the whistle. And, I mean, the puck was there, so, you know, I expect guys to, you know, play until you hear it and until it's covered, and I didn't think that it was covered at all. Yeah. So.
Well, last week I wrote about senior forward Kaden Vieques' goal drought to start the season. Not sure if you read the article and was inspired to snap his skid, but midway through the second period, Vieques scored his first goal of the season. He was wide open on the left side when Nate Hanley sent him a pass from the right circle, and Vieques buried the one-timer to give Union a 2-0 lead. I mean, how happy was everyone for Kaden?
It's one of those things, like, you know what's going to come, but everybody in the back of their mind is like, hey, like, he's going to get one, but let's get it now. So, like, I think it was a big relief for everyone just because he's a talented player, and it was just something that, you know, everybody was talking about. But really, I mean, he's been playing good hockey for us. So whether he scores or not, as long as he continues to play good hockey, we're happy.
What was the reaction like after he scored?
I think it was just kind of like a weight off his shoulders, and he was pretty happy. So,
yeah. Well, the score remains 2-0 heading into the third period. St. Lawrence gets a power play when Connor Smith is called for holding with 7:24 to go. This gives the Saints a chance to close the deficit to 1, but Union has missed a shorthanded goal scorer himself, Carter Corpy. He fired a wrist shot off the post and into the net with 5:35 left. Before we get into whether or not the goal should have counted, why is Corpy so good at scoring short-handed goals? That's his second this season, which has him tied for second in the country. And last year, he was one of the nation's top short-handed goal scorers with 3.
Well, he puts himself in, you know, in good spots by, like, he doesn't cheat on the penalty kill, but he's really good at anticipating when pucks are gonna, you know, you kind of squirt out or just, and then he's quick to jump on pucks. And if he gets a breakaway, he's pretty deadly, and you know, he gets those opportunities and he doesn't miss. Yeah.
As for whether or not the goal should have counted, Nick Young is clearing the puck out of the Union zone. He was in the high slot and was looking to carom the puck off the boards in front of the Union bench. The puck took a strange carom, and there was no sound of the puck hitting the board. It landed near Corpy, who skated down the right wing and scored. The St. Lawrence players were pointing to the Union bench, saying it hit one of the players. After the game, Brecky said it did hit a Union player, but he couldn't challenge it because the puck was moved from the neutral zone to the Saints zone. Was he right?
Yeah, he's right. I mean, it hit someone on our bench, but again, you play to the whistle, and you know, I think you create your own breaks and bounces, and you know, Carter got on that puck right away. He didn't act like anything happened. He reacted to it, and you know, and then made a great finish. But I mean, he was going to get a one-on-one either way. It just kind of set him up a little bit better. So
yeah, the puck hit Ben Muethersbaugh, who already had two assists in the game. Have you petitioned the conference to give him a third assist?
I'm not creating any red, not creating any attention to it. So
would you like to see the rule change that way? I mean, sort of like what they have if the puck hits the netting and nobody sees it and there's a goal scored. I mean, that can be probably looked at, but something like that. I mean, it's a goal scored. I mean, is that something maybe they should look at? Say, you know, that can't happen.
It's tough because, you know, where do you draw the line? You know, there's so many things that, you know, there's, you know, human error as far as officiating, you know, officials making mistakes. There's, you know, a guy leaning over and if his hand is in play and, you know, should it be a penalty for him leaning over that way or should it just be, you know, a dead puck? So it's tough. I think for the most part, everybody knows what the rule is, and again, you play to the whistle. Yeah.
Well, Corpy seals the deal with an empty net goal, and goalie Kyle Chauvet stopped 19 shots during his first shutout of the season. I thought he looked sharp. He was coming off being pulled midway through the first period of the November 9th game against Alaska Fairbanks after allowing three goals. I thought that he was a little more aggressive, challenging the St. Lawrence Shooters. What did you see?
Yeah, I was real pleased with his play. I thought, you know, he made everything look pretty, you know, pretty easy. He was square to the puck, and yeah, I mean, really confident in that.
I mean, I asked him after the game. We'll hear his comments in just a little bit, but he said he wasn't really that more aggressive. I don't. But what did you see on tape afterwards?
I just thought he was out and looked big on everything. So I don't know if it was just, you know, him maybe being a little bit more confident where he's at, or you know, our defending just allowed it to him to, you know, read the plays a little easier, but he was great.
Yeah. Well, let's hear from Carter Corpy, Kyle Chauvet, and Caden Villegas.
Let's start with the effort tonight, coming off what happened last weekend against the last Angers. I mean, you guys were solid from the opening face-off to the final buzzer, so how important and how satisfying is it to have play a game like that tonight? We'll start with Carter.
Yeah, it was a good start to the weekend for us. We got a big one tomorrow.
Kyle?
Yeah, no, I agree. It was a good start. I think we were very, like, had good attention to detail all game. And, you know, yeah, we just got to continue that tomorrow too.
Caden?
Yeah, like he said, just limiting their chances with our detail. And then just learning from last weekend how to close out games. So we got that job done tonight and got the opportunity to win again tomorrow.
Well, you finally got your first goal of the season. I don't know if it was my inspiration of the article, but how big was that? I mean, it's a one-timer, open net, and a nice pass from Nate.
Yeah, it was a great pass from Nate. He made the play happen, and obviously it feels good to help the team out any way I can, get back on the score sheet. So, yeah.
What was the reaction like for you?
A little bit of relief, but it'll always feel good to get that, and then hopefully just keep it going.
Kyle, for you, I mean, last Saturday you were pulled after giving up three goals in the first half of the first period. So how important was this for you tonight to bounce back and get a shutout like this as a bonus?
Yeah, I mean, you know, games like that are going to happen sometimes as a goalie. So just got to kind of flush it and move on to this weekend because we had big, there's a big in-conference points. And I think the guys played outstanding defensively in front of me tonight, so that was huge.
Do you feel you were maybe a little more aggressive tonight than maybe you were Saturday in the crease there?
I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, I didn't really change much structurally. I just think sometimes, like, bounces don't go the way you want them to, and I think I just kind of stuck to the process, like, stick to what I've been knowing for, like, years, so I didn't really change much up in my game.
You got a couple of posts there that probably helped you early in the third period. How critical was that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take them, you know.
How important was it there when St. Lawrence pulled their goaltender to finish it there and not have what happened the last Friday?
Yeah, I think that's huge for us. You know, we worked a lot on 6-on-5, and that's going to be big down the stretch, being able to close out games. So if we're up in the third, we want to make sure that the game's done.
Carter, you were out there for that. You know, you got the empty net goal. So, I mean, how important was it? How important was it to you know, finish the deal there, be able to, you know, get that empty net goal and seal the deal?
Yeah, it was big. We worked on details a lot through this week, and 6-on-5 was definitely a part of it. I mean, we're not going to make that a thing where it's like that. So, we're going to continue to push forward.
All right, I'm going to ask you this question. I know what the answer is going to be, but maybe this time it's a legitimate answer. You got your shorthanded goal there. A little help from the bench, apparently, because the puck hit the bench. I guess Josh was saying afterwards that hit Ben on the bench. And fortunate goal there.
Lucky bounces.
Hey, what is it? Other than lucky bounces with you and the shorthanded goals, what is it? Do you just have a knack for it?
I mean, I I like being in that position. I'm shorthanded. I think it's a big opportunity for our team to get momentum, whether it's a block shot, a clear, or just not allowing a goal. I love scoring shorthanded goals.
All right, so I'll ask you guys, let's wrap it up here. What's it going to be the key tomorrow to beating Clarkson again the six-point weekend?
Got to start out strong, kind of be detailed again like we did tonight, and just finish it off.
Kyle?
Yeah, stick to our process, you know, have high compete level, and just good attention to detail on both sides of the puck.
Okay.
I mean, our team's not satisfied with one win on the weekend. We got 9 points in league play, and we know we got 3 big ones tomorrow, so just stay dialed, take care of our bodies, and get the job done tomorrow.
Let's take a break. I'll have another Mess of Rake memory. Then we will discuss the Clarkson game. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC hockey, there's no experience like it.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition, app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette reporter Amira Dichie, and I would like to wish you a happy holiday season and a great 2025.
The Parting Shots podcast presents another Messerink memory. Here is ECAC Hockey Commissioner Doug Christensen, who played for Union from 1998 to 2002.
Obviously tons of memories, but I think the one that stands out the most is my senior night. It's obviously a culmination of 4 years of hard work, ups, downs, and you know, parents are there, coaches are there, and then the people that you became best friends with, not only when you're in college, but reflective of where I am today, the best friends that you still have today, and ending it. And for me, that's where my career ended, was at that rink. And so I know that lots of people will be coming back through, whether it's Achilles or Mesa, depending on how old you are, as they come back through that rink, they're going to have great memories. But I will also say, having seen where the new building is going to be and seeing where it stands now, there's a lot of things to really look forward to. So a new building in our league is great, and it's obviously something that everybody's going to look forward to playing in the future, and I'm sure everybody this year will enjoy their last time at Mesa.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Ken Schott, and I'm joined by Union Men's Head Hockey Coach Josh Halgy for his weekly segment. Let's discuss the Clarkson game, a 4-1 loss to the Golden Knights. This was a tough loss because I believe Union played well, maybe not as well as the team did against St. Lawrence, but they had their chances.
Yeah, we had opportunities and just didn't convert, and you got to credit Clarkson for kind of keeping us to the outside and blocking a lot of shots.
Yeah. Two of the Clarkson goals came out as a result of them winning races to negate icing calls. The first one came 3 minutes into the game when Ayrton Martino scored. The last one, an empty netter by Luka Sukovic with 2:26 left in the game, sealed it. After the game, you said you thought that Union had won the race on the first goal. After looking at the tape, do you still feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, we won the race, but again, it was close. Like, the Clarkson player put themselves in at least a close enough spot to make it questionable, and I think the linesman made a little bit of a mistake. But again, it's a game of you play it till the whistle, and we didn't handle just that turnover. Puck goes low to high, and then ends up hitting our defenseman right in front of the net, and then Ayrton was there to bury it.
Yeah, it was a tough from the press box. Obviously the other end of the ice, it was tough to tell. I don't have a great angle. I just have to see both the backs of the player. So it's tough for me to say whether they won the race or not. I mean, it's one of those things. But of course, next year in the new press box on the side, I'll be able to tell much better. But Well, DJ Hart got that goal back for Union a minute 16 later, but the Golden Knights regained the lead on a Suchovic goal midway through the first. And then early in second, with about 5 seconds left on the Union power play, Tristan Sarsland scores a shorthanded goal to make it 3-1 for Clarkson, and the Golden Knights take that lead into the second intermission. What are you telling your team about trying to come back in the third period?
Yeah, we were just focused on trying to get one in the first 10 minutes, and giving ourselves a chance in the last 10. I think that penalty kill for them where they score, they got the shorthanded goal, and we have a chance on the power play. That was frustrating. I thought we got outworked a little bit on that, and that was disappointing because our power play had been playing so well, and we were expecting our power play to maybe give us a boost there in the third.
Well, let's talk about that, because you had a great opportunity presented to you with 13:10 left in the third. Ellis Rickwood was called for boarding. Then you asked for a video review. And, of course, since the refs are not mic'd, there you go to the video. My initial thought was you were looking to turn Rickwood's minor into a major. And instead, it was discovered that Talon Sigurdsson cross-checked Brandon Burr in the head. So he gets a five-minute major. So you have a two-man advantage for 2 minutes and then 3 minutes of 5-on-4. Union had plenty of chances, firing 7 shots on goal during that entire power play, but the combination of goalie Ethan Langenegger and blocked shots by the Golden Knights hindered Union's chances of possibly tying the score or even taking the lead. I mean, how disappointing was that?
It's a tough one because, like I said, our power play has been really good after our slow start, and for us, we expect them to at least gain momentum, and a 5-on-3, I think, the analytics and everything show if you have a 5-on-3 and you don't score on it, you're typically putting yourself in a spot where you're going to lose the hockey game just based on momentum and everything that goes along with that. And we didn't finish on that one. It gives us a good opportunity to get some video and work on it over the next couple of weeks, and if the next one I'm sure we'll finish on, but it doesn't do anything for us there.
Yeah, you mentioned the power play has been rolling. They started the season over 16, and you had a 5-minute power play in the St. Lawrence game, didn't score on that, but that didn't come back to hurt you. So is there anything you need to do to have better success on the major power play?
Well, I think it's those were two really different power plays in the in the St. Lawrence game. It's we're just trying to really just play smart and take what the game gives you. In the Clarkson, we got it, like that the game's on the line, you got to score, you got to have that sense of urgency. So but I do think if you get a 5-minute major and you don't get one in the first 2 minutes, you kind of start pressing a little bit, you get frustrated. So it's just kind of stay in the course and believe in that the plan's going to work.
How would you assess the weekend?
I mean, I think it's a disappointment, to be honest. I was really pleased with Friday night's game, but I thought Saturday is a game that you can win, and at home you want to win and you should win, and we didn't. So it's I am pleased with the effort and the steps the guys took over the last from the Alaska series, but again, it's league play. We're expecting to be in the top four, and you got to win those games if you want to be at the end of the year.
Well, during Saturday's game, someone asked me about the 4 p.m. starts and why Union seems to struggle in them after playing Friday night at Mesa, and I did some research, and since the 2022-23 season, Union has a 5-8-1 record in those late afternoon games after a Friday game at Mesa. And last season, Union had a pair of 4 p.m. Weekend games, or the last couple seasons, they've had a pair of 4 p.m. weekend games against Stonehill last year around Thanksgiving, and then New Year's Eve in 2022-23, Union hosted New Hampshire for a pair of 4 p.m. games. I mean, the only wins against ECAC hockey teams have come against Brown and Princeton in 2022-23. I mean, can you explain why Union has struggled with the late afternoon starts at home?
Well, I guess 5-8-1 would probably be pretty similar to what our it's not quite, we haven't been above 500 in my first 2 years here. I think we'll get a little bit more detail on it this year when I think we're a team that can be above 500 and win more. But I do think it's a quick turnaround. It's you got to be ready for it, and I think both teams have to kind of handle it. So I don't know. It's maybe we've tried some different things to get the guys going, but I do think our energy has been much better this year in the second game. Where last year I just didn't think we had the energy. This year it's nothing It's not because of the energy.
Of course, there'll be one road game, I believe, this year when you go to Quinnipiac after playing at Princeton the night before. That could be a tough test.
Yeah, that will be a challenging one, and, you know, you got travel in there as well.
Yeah. Well, Union is off until next Friday when the Garner Chargers travel to Western New York for a two-game series against Niagara. Final exams just finished on Tuesday, so the players have some free time. How will you handle practices, especially with Thanksgiving approaching?
Well, I think this is a great opportunity for our guys just to be hockey players for, like, you know, the next 6 weeks. And, really, we can have more time with them. We can do more video, one-on-one video. We can, it's a lot of fun this time of the year because there's not all the academic restrictions we have. So it really is a benefit for us. And this is the time for us to, become tighter as a team and really develop.
Does this give you some time to get some recruiting in?
Yeah, it does this week. I'm going to head up to Ontario and watch my first major junior game as well as the Battle of Ontario.
I saw online that Clarkson's got, I don't know if you can comment it, but we saw Clarkson pick up a goaltender from the Kitchener Rangers of the Ontario Hockey League. So the looks like the movement's begun with to recruit the Canadian major junior players.
Yeah, it's pretty prevalent now. I mean, I think there's been a fair amount of guys committing from those leagues. So, we're fortunate enough that we have a pretty small senior class, so we don't need a lot. We have a couple guys committed that'll be coming in, but I definitely think it's a league we'll be watching a lot of hockey in the near future.
Well, before we wrap this up, let's hear from DJ Hart and Colin Ferguson after Saturday's game.
Coming off of last night's game, I mean, how disappointing is it with this result tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, but you can't sit on it. It's a long season, and we got to just move on.
DJ?
Definitely a tough one, but like Berg said, it's on to the next.
You talk about your goal?
Just right place, right time. It's no big deal. Didn't win the game, so it doesn't really mean much.
They won two of the goals and were results of Clarkson negated an icing call. Josh thinks the first one was a wrong call by the linesman, but the fact that two of those goals resulted from negated icing calls, I mean, how disappointing is that?
Yeah, it sucks, but I mean, we can't really control what the refs do, so.
You guys had a chance there in the third period with the two-man advantage, the major penalty. You got some quality chances, but how strong was their goaltender?
Yeah, he made some big saves. I think we just need to bear down, execute. We were getting great chances, moving the puck around. But, yeah, he made some great saves.
DJ, what do you learn from this weekend?
A lot. We need to play our game. We need to play all 60 minutes in order to win. And just learn from it, build. And now we got Niagara coming up, so that's our focus. We're not really too worried about this weekend anymore.
Yeah. In the special team game today, unfortunately, you guys were a minus one with a shorthanded goal. I mean, how disappointing is that?
It happens. We're not going to be perfect. We're human, so it is what it is. Got a week, 2 weeks coming up here to work on it, so we'll go from there.
Is it kind of nice to have some time off right now? I mean, I know you had some time off a couple weeks ago, but now it's a little bit longer, maybe a little longer.
Yeah, it's definitely nice just because we can work on things. We got finals wrapping up here, so, yep.
Yeah. Colin, what did you take from the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just need to keep playing our game and not stray away from that. I think there was a couple times where the refereeing did get in our head, and we just need to realize that, like, there's nothing we can do about it. We need to move on and just keep moving forward. And, I mean, we're just going to keep bearing down as the season goes on here. So, yeah, I mean, we learn from it. We move on.
You have to be a little better protect your goal there because yeah, the second goal is a tip in. It's just a matter of getting on sticks.
Yeah.
Josh, finally, it appears the EC's hockey season is going to be an adventure. Perennial power Quinnipiac is off to a slow start. We saw Yale earn 5 points on the Cornell Colgate trip a couple weeks ago, but then lose at home to Princeton on their first conference home game last Friday. And then Cornell has lost two shootouts. Dartmouth has looked impressive. What are your thoughts on the conference, it's a couple weeks into the conference play?
It's exciting. I mean, you look up and down the league and it's, our record out of conference is much better as a league. Everybody's kind of beating everybody in conference. So, it's going to be tough. Every point's going to be really tough to earn. And it's with that, they're going to be that much more important and valuable. So it's an exciting time. And, I think we've done a decent start or a decent job getting us off to a fast start, but we got to keep going here when we get back into league play.
Yeah, that'll be in a couple weeks when you go to Princeton and Quinnipiac. That, especially Quinnipiac, I mean, that's a tough test. I mean, they got shut out at home by Harvard, which I don't remember the last time Quinnipiac got shut out at home.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're going to be right in the mix when it, you know, comes to the end of the year. I think they're pretty talented, so I'm sure they'll get it figured out.
Yep. Of course, we always like to take questions from our listeners. You can email your questions to SHOTT, that's SCHOTT, at dailygazette.com, or post them on Facebook, X, Threads, at my new social media outlet, Blue Sky. I'm at Slapshots on Blue Sky, X, and Threads. Well, Josh, appreciate the visit, and we'll enjoy time off with the players, and, you know, work hard in practice, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, it's a fun time of the year.
Yeah. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, my Gazette colleague Adam Schindler will wrap up the area college football season. I'll talk New York Giants football with CBS Sports broadcaster and former New Channel 13 sports anchor and reporter Andrew Catalan, who will be calling the Giants-Tampa Bay game on Sunday. The Associated Press's Dennis Wozniak Jr. will join me to talk about the Jets and Tuesday's firing of Jets general manager Joe Douglas. And I'll talk sports media with Ken Fang of All For Announcing. Please tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I'm Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.